welcome to another episode of our SDVC podcast. Today, Paul and I are joined by two very special guests. We have Jason Oldham, who has been a guest before. I think maybe three or four times before.
Yeah, many times.
And a first-time guest, Julie Oldham.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're very excited to have them both here. And what we're going to be talking about today is a little adventure that they've all recently been on. I'm sure if you have been attending our services, you've heard some of Paul's funny stories about the trek back from Camp Sunnybrae. But we're going to be talking about their time at Camp Sunnybrae and what that was like and cool connections that came out of that. So, yeah, to just get things rolling, Paul, what were you guys up to a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, so this feels weird. I feel like a guest. I guess I am. Before all of this, yes. For those of you who don't know Julie Oldham, that is, just to clarify, Jason's wife.
So. Oh, yes. Sorry, I didn't clarify.
Yeah, it could have been a sister or a daughter or whatever. Same last name.
Other than Phil and I think this is our first...
Husband and wife?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Look at that. We should have their children, too. That'll be fun to have Christian on this show. A couple weeks ago, or last week, I guess, we were at Sunnybrae Bible Camp, which is in Tappan, BC, in the Shuswap region, kind of by Salmon Arm. It's a wonderful area, 4.5 or 5 hours away, driving-wise, other than if you're me and Sarah, then it's 10 hours away. that's another day, a story for another day. But we were invited to participate in a family camp that the Fellowship and Sunnybrae jointly offers to Fellowship ministry workers and their families. So this is for church staff who are, technically it's for full-time staff and their families to come and enjoy a time of family camp. No strings attached. There's no real agenda for this. We're not doing like workshops or conferences. This is literally a family camp experience for all the ministry staff and our families. Julie, you've gone on this last year as well?
Just yeah, just once before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So she's actually the one who really got Sarah and my family to go. So
my job was to recruit. No, just kidding.
There you go.
No, but after an incredible experience there last year for, I think 6 nights, I was excited to come back and say, hey, SDBC staff, I think this is something we should see if we can jump in on. Yeah.
Yeah. And this was, Jason, your first time for this particular camp, because Julie, you didn't go with Jason last year.
My wife went without me.
I may have taken a different guest instead, because Jason, we just found out about it last year a little bit too late. So it wasn't possible for Jason to join me. And it was so nice having him there this year, as well as your family, Paul. It was great.
Yeah. It was good. I think that's the general consensus, that we had a blast. It was such a good time.
Yeah.
And you spoke. Right, Paul?
Yeah, I suppose. So Julie had given me a heads up. I found the email. It was like literally before the New Year's Day, like somewhere around New Year's Day, Julie sent me an email. Hey, we talked about this last time, but Sunnybrae is offering this. We had a great time last year. I think our other staff should also go. So could you make this happen? So what we did was we agreed that we would allow our staff to participate and not have to use their vacation for it. That this would be outside of their vacation. It'll be a time to connect with other fellowship staff and other fellowship ministers and their families, but also it would be a great time for us to connect as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the arrangement we made, and we had offered it to other people like Jordan and Christiane and Jacob and Maddie and others, but for various reasons, they couldn't make it this year. So it ended up being just the two of our families. We had a great time, but the thing was, we hadn't budgeted it in our family vacation budget to do this, even though it's subsidized, I think 33% by the fellowship. Mm. It still costs money for us to go for a whole week, which, you know, if you've been to these kind of family camps, you know, they're not necessarily cheap.
Yeah.
They're great value. I'm not saying it's expensive, but
yeah.
So we weren't going to go. So I was going to say, Julie, sorry, but I think you're on your own this year. But they invited me to speak because their original speaker that they had scheduled, which is actually an old friend of Jason's, he said, no, he can't make it anymore. So then it opened up a spot for me. We went for free because I was a speaker. So that was a great deal. So I had a blast. It is a lot of work. I wouldn't say it's not, because it's a lot of speaking and stuff like that. And I just can't relax fully if I'm speaking.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Next year, Paul.
Next year. We are going to budget it next year. We're fully in. We really want to go. We really hope other staff members can go as well.
Hmm.
Maybe Mary, you and Phil and Baby could also join us.
That'd be super
fun if you could join us.
Yeah.
I really, because it was my first time going, I kind of knew what to expect, but I didn't expect it to be as, I don't know, full and relaxing and enjoyable. I don't know why. I had some preconceived ideas, but from the minute that we got there, we used to do this thing when I was heavily involved in youth ministry called Thaw. And it was a weekend retreat where youth pastors and their families could gather at a camp or a retreat center and basically just spend the weekend together, worshiping, playing, having fun, enjoying one another, but also like collaborating and talking and, you know, working through a lot of the issues that, you know, were in youth ministry at the time. And it just immediately felt like a week long Thaw. It felt like a bunch of families that were in ministry together that you could sit at a table and just hear who they are, how they're doing, what they're doing, and just enjoy it. And some of those conversations got very deep because not everyone's having a great time in ministry. And some of them were really hard things that people were working through. And some of them were just the joys of it. And you know, sometimes as much as it was a very relaxing week at a camp, it was also almost like a little bit of a mini conference, if you want to call it that. I don't know if they planned it for it. It wasn't a lot of work. I know you were working lots, Paul, preparing and speaking, which was really good because that spurred the conversations that we would have at the dinner table, talking about what Paul was speaking on. So,
yeah. Is any of that like intentionally facilitated or did all of that just happen because of where you're at?
No, most of the conversations were just like, you know, sitting on the beach in your chair and talking to people or sitting at they have a really nice kind of kids play park where the kids play. And it was sitting at a bench beside it where you would meet the person and hear about their ministry and then continue that conversation at a table where you'd go and sit down. And I mean, I have been part of this denomination, the fellowship, since I was a teenager. I went to a church that was a fellowship church in Ontario. And as much as like denominations are maybe played down because there's, you know, why can't we just all get along or whatever? But there's a beauty about a denomination that truly does support the local church, that does a lot to kind of bring a sense of unity kind of within that. And I think this was just another way for that to be shown. And it really was. Like, I met some brand new people I'd really never met in our fellowship. I learned about where their churches were. I learned about what they're doing, who's in their family. And you have these conversations. So I don't know. It was just really, really great. It was top to bottom, a really, really great.
Yeah. I mean, for those of you who are listening who don't know what these camps look like, for this particular camp, there was about just over 80 people and participants, and then they have their own staff. So there's about, you know, over 100 people on the campgrounds hanging out with you, playing games, eating and worshiping together. We worship twice a day, you know, morning chapel and evening chapel and stuff like that. But then also, because this ministry workers, this camp is actually a lot smaller than Sunny Bray's normal camps. I spoke at their regular family camp, not the ministry workers one, last year. And that camp was over 220 people. So that's just participants too. So like 300 people always in the dining room together and all that stuff. That's way different than the camp experience we had last year.
Yeah, and I think that the fellowship and Sunny Bray together in partnership see the value in what this offers to the local church, to ministry workers, and therefore actually are willing to take, you know, a financial cut rather than having, I think almost every week they have 220 campers, whether it's family camp or kids camp. So this has been, and it's existed for 3 years so far, and they are hoping to continue with it, but it has been, it's a smaller camp. And I actually really appreciate that they can see and what they're building into, the value behind the unique connection that ministry workers have and the value of gathering ministry workers together. And what, like, I know for me, speaking back to Jason spoke about Thaw, which was a similar type of just coming together. And as ministry couples, ministry families, ministry workers, there is just a sense where maybe in a different way you can connect with people, or maybe just share honestly, or whatever it might be, just the different conversations that, you know, were facilitated through just being able to be together, spend time together, I think are so powerful. Yes. And I look back to, we still kind of speak back to the people that we met and connected with when we were, before we had kids. So we're talking like, you know, 25 years ago, that those still are some of the people that have walked alongside us through hard things, or that we've done life with, or maybe when there's something that's going on in your church and there are people that you are doing life with and love, but you need to just check in or have someone pray for you that maybe is just outside of that local context. Those are some of your people, right? They just become, and I think this is now a new way to facilitate that and allow that to kind of continue to happen. And well, for me personally, I believe in it. So I just love that the fellowship and Sunny Bray have seen this need and are kind of, moving forward with it.
I think it's super healthy, like you say. Julie, for those of you who don't know Julie's kind of experience with our fellowship groups, she's worked with fellowship in the office. She's been on boards. She's been very involved with Quantos as well, on staff as well. So it's not like, oh, she's been supportive as a pastor's wife. No, she's actually been directly involved in many of these agencies, organizations, also the local church like Ladner Baptist, Cloverdale, and here.
And
elsewhere.
Grace Baptist.
Yes, and Hope.
My whole life, fellowship girl, right?
Yeah. So I think, and then of course you're now, both of you, your children now, and your family being involved as well at Quantos and elsewhere. So I think there's a lot of kind of commitment from all of us to what we have here, the network of churches, the brothers and sisters that we share our ministry with. Now, I will say I was a little bit surprised when Julie explained what it was. And, you know, we were all bought in. Just even like our family and the Oldhams spending a week together just in itself was a compelling kind of idea. So
for us too, absolutely.
We love that. But then when we went, I thought it'd be kind of like a very, you know, different kind of a vibe, because when we went, I realized, oh, this is a very diverse group. Like, we got some guys who don't have young kids. When I heard family camp, I thought it'd be just all people in kind of my life and stage and, you know, somewhere in between. But no, we had guys who don't have children, guys who don't have little children. They brought their youngest, who is a teenager, you know, and then the older kids didn't come with them, and they still showed up and they enjoyed it and had a blast. And we have guys who are heading into retirement. We have guys who are two people who are in the Immerse program. So you know them, Mary, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that was kind of unexpected for me. I thought it would be very like, oh, everyone who has kids from this age to that age would show up and nobody else. But it was very different. Like, even with you guys, you only brought Christian. All your other children were
one out of four.
Camps.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you ended up being kind of like a little bit more freer than if you had
four
young kids.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that was super fun to have people like to talk to, and not all of us are busy chasing our kids. And
totally. I think they've designed it in a way that there is enough action if you're there with your family. Mm-hmm. Your kids are content. There's activities. There's crafts, there's games, there's whatever. And then those of us that are just really looking to kind of kick back, I mean, I know for us, Christian was just happy.
Yeah.
So he's there kind of living his best life. And it just allowed us to like pretty much just find that whatever balance you want, if you want a little bit of alone time, or you want to go off and just spend some time with God, walking down the beach or reading your Bible, but then also just lots of time to sit back. And, you know, we played crib with, you know, a pastor couple from Ladner who were just lovely. And I'd just met the wife before, never the husband. Amazing people. We sat on the beach, like Jason said. We swam with people. We laughed. We played. And then also, you know, I remember looking over and Jason was having an intense, good conversation just with another pastor that's had a pretty difficult grieving season, and like seeing them talk together, and often looking over and seeing people just sharing something, sharing the depth of something, and then praying together or crying together. You know, it's beautiful.
I think it's cool. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, we are all church staff. So when we gather together, I could see the worship pastors had a little mini conference. They decided
why not?
One of the evenings is like, hey, let's sit together for dinner and let's talk about, you know, ministry. I mean, we're notorious for this. We talk shop because this is kind of all we do. We love what we do. So that was cool. Sharing notes, comparing notes. That was fun. The other thing was, like, when we go to Impact, Mary, you probably know this too. Like, we only get to meet the ministry workers and not the families. Usually it's very hard to meet all the families. This time we were able to like some of these guys are holding our kids in their arms and helping them out. And some of our kids are like, well, both Christian and Nathan, they're like, oh, can I just go eat at that table? Like, I don't want to eat with y'all. I just want to be with our new friends over there. And so it was so cool to like play pickleball with one of the immersed students. And I think he works at Southridge in Langley, his son, and me and Nathan were playing and we're just having fun. That's very rare.
That's cool.
And at Impact, these are the things that we would love to do, but don't have the time to do or can't do. I just loved it. It was special for me. I was never involved with Thaw. Like, so, you know, Jason and Julie had been involved before kind of I got involved. And then we came in, and then by the time I came in, there wasn't much opportunity of this as much.
Yeah.
At least not family to family kind of a thing. And I feel like Sunny Bray and Fellowship has intentionally brought some of this back through this camp. And I think it's super healthy. I think it's good for us individuals, but also good for our church. We all feel refreshed coming back from this, but also connected and inspired by this. And I hope even my speaking part, you know, it's kind of like the ultimate definition of preaching to the choir. So instead of just doing Greek and Hebrew and exegesis, we wanted to do some cultural exegesis together. So we went through a book called The Anxious Generation, Jonathan Haidt. It's actually, it was a good test run because I had intended to do this as a study for our church, and we'll do that in the coming months here. But I think the people enjoyed having a conversation about this very important topic in our lives.
It was, yeah, I think it was super powerful and convicting, but it's such an important topic to address, and I think just a reality of where we're all at. So I think everyone had something to engage on, whether it was reflecting on your own life, your own kids. For me as a teacher, within the church, youth, you know, the kids that we work, it applied to all of those different areas for sure.
It was just so cool because, like, I'm not preaching at anyone here, but I'm just asking, can we think and talk about this and pray about this together? And I thought that was cool. And I try to be collaborative. So Zach, one of the days, he's one of our fellowship staff, and he said he appreciated that even though it's kind of a monologue when I'm speaking, it felt like a dialogue. And I tried to engage. I tried to invite some feedback from the group. And what was cool was I asked, actually, Jason, the worship leader there, they have a worship leader that leads us all week, morning and evening. But she had a commitment in one of the time slots. So she's actually asked Jason to step in. So Jason led the evening chapel one day. Not planned before or anything. He just happened to bring his guitar. So he just went up there and did it. And then on the last day, I wanted to take communion together. I realized almost all these guys just lead communion at their churches, right? Mm-hmm. Whether musically or from the platform, they kind of facilitate and lead. But I just wanted to give them an opportunity where they could just be led into communion and take it together as one body, not a local church, but the whole fellowship. I thought that would be meaningful. We had, I think I personally enjoyed it. And Jason led with another worship pastor from Langley. And it was so cool to see them lead us together. Mm-hmm. And just the three of us doing it together, I just felt like, oh, wow, this is wonderful. It's so life-giving for us, at least as people who work in church staff, to be able to know that God is doing an amazing work out in Langley, Armstrong, or wherever these people are. That was beautiful for me. And like right there, that alone, I think, was compelling for me to say on our way back, Sarah and I were like, we're going back next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Paul, now that you've had a week with the Oldhams, you know, it wasn't a vacation. Like, have we earned the spot to maybe get invited to your next Disneyland trip?
Yes. Christian's working on that.
Because I know others. I'm not saying I'm jealous or anything, but I know others have been invited on said trips.
That's what this is all about.
Well, I mean, I agreed to the podcast. I might have had a few little questions.
Yeah. Here, so. It's usually, these trips are usually sponsored by Howard, so you're going to have to ask him.
It's not Paul you have to come in.
Yeah. But what was your favorite part, Julie, like, of the week? I mean,
oh, wow. I, to be honest, love just being alongside people. So I think it's just those moments. It's sitting on the park bench beside the playground. I don't even know where my kid is half the time, or most of the time. It's just such a safe and beautiful place, and there's people around. But I'm enjoying someone else's kids, engaging with them, and then having a great conversation with the person beside me. And then it's the same thing down on the beach. And it's, you know, sitting alongside Sarah at the beach and, you know, just chatting. And I just really, I mean, that's also my, like, love language, good conversation and catching up with people. But I did so appreciate being with your family, Paul, and so much that it made me yearn. And I'm praying that we can take more people from SDBC staff next year.
Yeah.
Just having fun alongside each other. And I think we do that well on a regular basis. But the idea of sitting there beside Phil and Mary and a baby next year, or hanging out with Jacob and Maddie and Winnie running around and playing on that playground, like just spending time together. I would love to see Jordan and Christiane there. Like, so that's my hope and prayer. But I just, I think too, just because when you get to, we have always said, as doing doing youth ministry for so many years, you can do weeks and weeks and weeks getting to know kids, right? If you go away together for a weekend, the amount that you feel connected and you have shared stories and, you know, experiences and then these late night conversations or whatever it is, it's almost like a year's worth of evenings. And so I think that's the beautiful part in a staff and even a broader community, the fellowship, spending time together like this is, I truly think the way that you get to know each other is just like sped up in such a beautiful way. And so having time when a staff can do that together, we got to watch, there was one church there that had four families that were able to come along. And I just, I enjoyed watching them because they engaged with everybody at the camp. They sat with different people at meals. They enjoyed everybody. And then they'd have little special times where their church family was together and they went and got ice cream together, or they went and did something together. And I really do think that it's so powerful that a church staff that does life together and knows each other and has fun together and knows each other deeply, I think can serve in a powerful way. And I just think it's awesome.
It's so good for the church in general, right? And it's good for us as staff. I agree. Like, we've all done some level of short-term mission trips or youth trips where, or young adults, where if you don't go, there's like a lot of like missing content now, context and stuff, because the FOMO is for real, because all of a sudden, you had this accelerated, intense time of fellowship. And I think this is where, like, as a staff, we tried, like, Impact, we go together. This is very unique. I don't know if our people have an appreciation for that, because, you know, not every church does this. We intentionally put resources into this so that our staff can gel in these opportunities. We went to Phoenix last year, and I know some people are like, wow, this church is like rolling in the dough. They send their staff to Phoenix. First of all, we covered our own flights, and it was way cheaper to get an Airbnb in Phoenix than in Nanaimo, BC, or Whistler, or Penticton here. However, the second idea was like, oh, this is actually important. I know these could be just on the back burner a lot of times, but there's a reason why successful teams actually care about each other and our family, not just colleagues, right? And I liked Phoenix. It was fantastic. I think Mary and Jason would both agree.
Yep.
We liked Penticton. We liked all the Impacts. But being with our families as well, it adds another level of just goodness. But I will say, Jason and I were talking about this yesterday. It's hard to facilitate because the three of our pastors, for example, I can envision the three of us and our families going away only because our spouses are all teachers and they have all summer off. Whereas, like, I would love Kylie and Kylie, at least, I don't know about Mark, but Kylie loves these kind of trips too, right? And we have so much fun when we go as a staff. But I'm not sure if, like, people who are not, like Phil, who is not a teacher, who doesn't get all summer off, he would have to go through a whole week of vacation for this. How many weeks do they have, and how many weeks can they kind of spend on being with us? Although I would say it's a fantastic time.
I think
well
we're pretty great.
But if they want to go to Hawaii for 2 weeks or whatever, like, I mean, you know what I mean?
There's, absolutely.
So that makes it a little bit hard if your spouse doesn't have that kind of a flexibility in their schedule.
I would be so excited for next year to bring Phil, because I feel like there's so much of my life that's both woven into our church staff and the fellowship as a whole that he doesn't and can't really understand and doesn't ever really get to see. Yeah. Like even coming back from Impact, he just gets to watch the highlight video on Sunday with everyone with everyone else. He's never been to one before. He doesn't understand. And so to be able to bring him to something with the fellowship and with our church family in that way is very exciting to me. So he has enough vacation. We can go.
Yeah.
That'll be good. That'll be so good. But Sunnybury is also like just like geographically, if you haven't been to that part of our province, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're going
too far away, is it? It's like,
well, if you're in my car, it's 10 hours. If you're in the oldest car.
We got home and with a good amount of stops, we got home in five and a half hours.
I actually saw Jason because we both drove back on Saturday. We actually headed out of the camp together at 9:10 a.m. Jason and Julie got back.
I sped by you and then you sped by me.
And then I slowed down for the next 5 hours.
You did.
Jason, I saw him at the church on Saturday night when I was rolling in at around 7 o'clock. Jason was already getting ready for Sunday and I had to also preach. So I was here actually editing the missionary video with Ryan a night. So like, you know, ideally, we wouldn't have scheduled it like this. We would have loved to just disengage and completely enjoy that week. But it was an important week. And I think now we've had that Sunday a couple of days ago. And I will say that was a wonderful Sunday at the missionary. So it was worth it. It was worth me having to preach, Jason having to lead worship, because it ended up working really well in how we envisioned it. But ideally, I would love to have an opportunity where I can just completely unplug. Mm-hmm. I was just telling Jason the other day, but like I've never been to a family camp where I wasn't the speaker. So like I've actually never really fully participated.
Jay, that would have been your first time, no? Where you weren't leading worship or speaking or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it was special. Like, right? Like I would love next year where we can all just go. This is why 1 year, no, 2 years, where Jason was on staff, he led worship at Impact. Mm. And then I spoke 1 year and Mary spoke 1 year and I didn't really like it. This is a little me being a little selfish now, but like then Jason can never be off. If you're leading worship at a conference like this, you are on.
Yeah.
Like there's no real breaks. And your mind is just always going and figuring out troubleshooting and all that stuff. So it was nice, like Phoenix and like this time where, you can just bring a guitar and play because you want to play, not because you have to.
Yeah. And even if they did, like that was kind of the neat thing while you were there, you know, having the opportunity to grab a guitar and, you know, help out here and there. Like I kind of bring my guitar anyways to things like that, knowing that there might be a little pop-up time of worship here and there, whatever, fireside, things like that. Mm-hmm. It sounds different, but when you're in an environment where it's just kind of low key and everyone's relaxing, it just takes on a different flavor.
Yes.
And so I don't mind doing that kind of thing. But this year was, like Julie's right, this year was kind of a go and just be with people and feed off of the conversations and the care and the, you know, it was really refreshing. And then, of course, what you spoke on as well. Tied in very much with Sabbath and rest and rejuvenation. So it's good.
Did you enjoy playing with Sabo, the worship pastor from?
Yeah. I mean, I enjoy playing with the community of music is very special. When the church sees the worship team playing, it's more than just chords in a song and lyrics. There's a very communal thing happening between people and their life experience. I often ask the worship teams before we start, like, how's everyone doing? What's going on in your life? How can we pray? There's almost like a community group feel around the worship team. And I want that to be because their life stories play into their worship lives.
Yes.
And so, you know, when you're there and you're meeting, and I'd met Sabo before and the other worship leaders before, but the opportunity to play along with them and hear their heart and then, you know, kind of have those times, those are rich, those are good.
Yeah, I love how organic, like you say, it's definitely different than being in a structured, not saying structured worship is bad. Of course it's good. That's why we do it.
Got a plan.
But it is cool because like even communion, like I didn't plan for it, but halfway through I realized, oh, I'm ending the entire session on Friday with like sacrifice of Jesus as like the big thing. So I'm like, oh, we should take communion. And then I asked the kitchen, hey, if it's not too much work, can you guys, do you have any grape juice? Do you have any crackers or bread? and I found some gluten-free. I forgot to mention it was gluten-free, but celiac-friendly crackers, rice crackers. And then I'm cracking them in my room before morning chapel on Friday. And they're like, is this too small? Is it too big? I mean, at our church, we have wonderful volunteers who prepare the elements. Here, I'm like, is this good? Is this too much? And then all of a sudden, one of the leaders see me doing this at my morning chapel when I bring the juice and I'm pouring it there. And the guy's like, oh, I can help you, Pastor Paul. I can help you. And then he starts to like fill the cup all the way to the brim. I'm like, no, no, no. Just halfway, man. Just halfway. It's okay. That's enough. And then we had an infestation of wasps on the camp.
Oh, no.
There was a lot of wasps and mosquitoes.
They probably like grape juice.
Oh, they man. They had a feast. They had a feast on the grape juice while we were worshiping. And I think all of those things are just fun and cool because, you know, in those moments, I'm in shorts, hat, and sunglasses because I broke my glasses.
Yeah.
And the sun was intense in the evening. Mm. Jason knows because he was also on stage leading one of the nights. But I'm in my sunglasses. We're all sweaty. It's hot and like...
Dusty.
And it's a very different kind of environment, but then like it all makes it so fun for all of us because we actually do love Jesus. We would do it all over again if it wasn't our paid jobs. We would be on mission in whatever context God puts us. And I think that whole room, quote unquote room, because we were outdoors, but that group of people really... Like, I can feel that, wow, like, Jesus actually does link us all to each other. Mm-hmm. And that was fantastic. And, I mean, at Impact, we get a sense of that for sure. And there's other opportunities. But this felt just so much more organic. And having our families there, I think, was just special. Mm-hmm. It was unique. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I want all of our staff to go next year. But, I mean, realistically, Jason, I heard it saying, I mean... you know, schedules and everything, it may not work. But church family, if you hear some plans for next year, we will try to get people out. If you have any thoughts about engaging with us, we would love to hear from you. But Julie, like you've done this kind of a few times now, whether you were on the staff end trying to facilitate connections at the fellowship or now participating as a member of the local church here. What do you think is kind of a hindrance for us to do this more often? If we think, if we come back like rejuvenated and we say, this is like great, we should do this.
Yeah.
Why can't we do it all the time? And
I think it's just the reality of those practical pieces, whether that be finances, you know, we're talking about families that we are hoping that can come, our young families. Like you said, even with your family this year, right? Thinking about, well, we didn't budget for this. Yeah. I'm not sure. It's not super cheap. I love that the fellowship is connected with trying to reduce the cost and takes on a third of the cost. But I'd say that, and I think too, just the reality of busy lives and schedules. And like you said, when we're bringing in, you know, yes, I do get FOMO when the staff go away and you guys are hanging out in Phoenix, because to me, I am such a, the way that God has wired me is for community. And so, I mean, I know everyone, but I'm probably just that extreme extrovert that just my soul is fed through being with people and having time and getting to know people and deeper conversation. And so, yeah, I do. And for me, I love just the fact that this can be. To me, I have always seen our role as being together. Jason works at the church, you know, through we've been involved in ministry since we were married 26 years ago. You know, and there's been actually, to be honest, times along the way where, you know, I was really praying over whether we could be hired as a couple to work. Mm-hmm. You know, we realized that's not a super common thing. It's less common in Canada, actually, than in the States. To me, our life is together in ministry. And I love where I'm at with my work. I love the new school that I'm a part of at Delta Christian School right now and the community there. But truly, my heart is for the church and the local church and being on mission together as a couple and as a family. And so, I mean, I, you know, I might not get paid by the staff, but I consider myself on staff, and Jason and I do this together, and my role in supporting him and also just doing church life together. And so when families to me get to be a part of it, we're enabled to be brought in and to just do that in a different way, maybe, and kind of just see that connection be a little bit deeper. So, I mean, I'm kind of rounding out your question that says, why can't we? I think sometimes just just finances or schedule kind of hinder that from happening. You know, my ultimate dream, to be honest, is to be able to just work alongside Jason and not actually have to provide a second income. That's my, I like living in a dream world sometimes. And sometimes I pray that God would allow me to be able to do that. But so when there's opportunity just to be able to be in ministry together and be a ministry couple together, I just think it's super powerful. And I would love others to have that opportunity and to, strengthen that family feel.
I think some of the challenges, like the realities that you're talking about with finances and time and schedules and stuff like that, some of that could be overcome by just intentionally planning, right?
Absolutely. And starting out now, right? Yeah, thinking, okay, this is next year. What are the dates? Yeah, what does that look like?
So hopefully if we think this is important enough, not just this particular camp at this time of year, but just the ability for us to connect deeply as a church staff and also beyond as a fellowship family. I think some of that, we need to make sure that, because naturally it'll just go on the back burner because we have busy lives, right? I think we just have to somehow put it in front of ourselves and make sure that that doesn't always take a backseat. Sometimes it will, and that's okay. But that we bring it forward at times to make sure that this isn't lost. Because, I don't want our church staff or our church family at large to just consider church experience as a task and just do tasks together. I do really believe in shared life, shared mission, and that shared life part is really important for us to disciple one another in Christ. So,
and maybe that means partnering with a younger family, you know, on staff that wants to be able to come, and maybe that looks like finding support for them to find, if we can remove a barrier for them to be able to do that, I think there's huge value in that.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to what this conversation does for our church staff culture and moving forward. I think we've done a good job as a church staff to continue to invest in sharing life and being together. But how do we bring that forward even more? I think that would be great. There's different personalities, right? Because Sarah, for example, for this podcast, she's like, nope, hard pass. I don't want to do it. And then you're doing great, right?
So. Well, I did tell her I would only do it if she did it, but somehow that that happened.
Yeah, I think it's cool that we, when we're at church, I think one of the hardest things sometimes when things aren't going well is that our family, we're all in as a family. That means there's no blurring. I mean, there is a blurring of the lines between professional work and life and family and home life. We bring it home and we bring our family to work quite literally. So it's actually quite unique. Not all industries have this blend of where a family is so deeply engaged in our workplace. Actually, it's quite rare. I don't know if you go to Coca-Cola, donate to Coca-Cola and check in on them every week.
I don't think I'm allowed to go to Coca-Cola.
I do pull Jason in every once in a while to my work, but definitely not. It is unique, right? The way that we, like I said, that we are doing this, this is something that we're doing together as as a couple, as a family.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thankful that our church has generally, at least the feedback that I've received, have been positive about our staff going to these things. They don't see it as a waste of time or resources. They see it as like, you need to do this. Because if we have a healthy staff and families, it's a very, very good thing for our church. A lot of people have cheered us on. I thought I would receive some criticism after going to Phoenix and stuff because we were bold enough to even show a video highlight of how much fun we had. And actually quite a few people said, you know what, we are so thankful that you guys are not neglecting this opportunity to connect and be together and have fun and enjoy each other, because there will be times, and there are times, where it's tough and hard. But then we have each other's backs and we do this together as a family, always. And hopefully we'll continue to do that. I think last time we went to Phoenix, it was helpful for Jacob. Mary, maybe you can share that kind of experience from that end, where we have some new people like Vladlin and Jacob, this impact, and then Jacob for Phoenix, where they can jump in and kind of talk about, like Julie talked about, the accelerated getting to know each other experience.
Yeah, feeling like family, but then you know people have your back, right?
Well, I mean, just logistically, it works out like that, because even though we work together, we're not spending like every minute of every day together, and there's only certain meetings where we're together. So to be able to go away to Phoenix, particularly with Jacob, like he was just new on staff, and he just got thrown kind of into the deep end of how much we love each other, how much we're in each other's yeah. business, how much we cook everything together and go everywhere together. We're like this little
and argue
like pack of ducklings that just do everything together. And so I think he got a real taste of who we are, like the this is who we are mindset of the staff culture, which I think then is easier to transport back into office culture yes. afterwards, because you have built trust and you've built love and connection and understanding for people. So I hope that we can continue to do these things and that Vlad can continue to yeah. do them with us as well. Because, well, he went to Impact,
yes,
I guess.
He did.
So yeah, similar thing, playing laser tag late at night all together. I think we entered him into the group pretty well there. But no, they're really special. I don't know that I could describe our staff as any other word other than like a really special family.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about radical hospitality and meaningful connections, and we don't want to be a staff that says, hey, you need to do this, but we won't. Mm. Like, we feel the obligation to actually lead by example and do this well with one another and with our whole church at large. And I think we have been doing that. One of the things I also think is kind of special for us experiencing this from like a church staff end is we actually do like hanging out together and our families do.
Yeah, we're not
enjoy.
Making it up.
Yeah. Like that's a special place. I mean, it's not just church, but just any workplace. It's not always guaranteed. And I think we need to work at that too, like to continue that culture, the healthy culture of, you know, Christ loves us and he binds us in his love. And we as a church staff have the opportunity to really enjoy and express that well together. It's kind of our act of worship when we come together and rejoice together. So I want to continue to encourage our staff and team to do that. And I think Jace, Mary, you guys do a good job leading our church staff in that way. And we have such a wonderful staff, right? Mm-hmm. Like I almost felt bad, Julie, because we were talking about this. Some of these guys at the camp were having some hard seasons.
Yeah.
And I don't want to come across as like, oh, our church is great. Our elders are supportive. Our staff is amazing. But sometimes it comes across that way because genuinely is. I do feel super supported and loved, and we feel like we love each other. And I'm like, oh, I'm not trying to say this because I'm boasting, but it is the fact. And I think this is what we all should and could aspire to, mm-hmm. Being more than just colleagues.
Yeah.
So. You gonna wrap us up?
One thing before,
yes.
I would say we've talked a lot about the fellowship kind of supporting, like the denomination itself supporting this. And a couple of weeks ago, I wrote a blog on like summer camp and how special it mm-hmm. is. This was just another proof of kind of what God does through these incredible summer ministries. And Sonny Bray, I mean, I know the director and his wife quite well. I've known them for years. They were in youth ministry alongside us. And so I would see them. But it's just, it was really a great week. I just think that the vision is so set before the camp and the staff that we arrived and all of the staff are loving that which is most precious to us, our kids or whatever, and you just feel cared for and loved. So unlike like going to a retreat center where, you know, you're kind of on your own maybe, other than kind of the program that's set before you, there's no program. Mm-hmm. So you trust that the family camp staff, the counselors, the staff that are there, and they were amazing.
Yes. Shout out to Sunday like, staff.
Really,
yeah.
really
amazing.
They were amazing. The food was great. The atmosphere that they set for us was so good. I arrived with a flat tire, like legitimately. I arrived with a flat tire. Their maintenance guy had the tire off. He had taken it into town. He'd had it repaired and filled up and back on my truck in 2 days. Like, it was one of those things. And I tried to give him money and somebody had paid for it. So wow. like you talk about radical hospitality mm-hmm. and meaningful connections. This was literally a week of that yeah. mm-hmm. for our staff. We didn't have to preach yeah. it. We were living in it. And so kudos to Sonny Bray, to Tim and Katrina and the whole crew for yeah. making that.
Well, our family was served by, Ben Hall's daughter, your good friend,
yeah,
Ben Hall's
yeah.
daughter, who was on staff there, summer staff there. And she was so good at hosting all the meals. She sat at our table, made sure our little girl, Christiane, felt comfortable. And she was just such a wonderful host. And we just felt so blessed that I actually texted her dad, who is our one of our fellowship pastors. And I said, dude, your daughter is awesome. She is such a gracious person. And we just love being with her this week. And she's been like a blessing to us this week. And so I think it's just kind of cool to know that our fellowship staff are just so wonderful people. Wow. And it's very encouraging. And to be honest, we read the Jonathan Haidt. Well, I read the Jonathan Haidt book and kind of we explored it together. And one of the solutions they offer for this world where, you know, anxiety is a, you know, a challenge for us, and also like social media and devices and addictions and stuff like that. One of the solutions they offer is to go to a camp like this, unplug, get away from your devices, get away from all this other stuff, and spend quality, real relationship, face-to-face kind of stuff. Spend that time with your family, with your friends, with your loved ones. That is one of the things that could help you get back on the right track. And I'm like, yeah, we're kind of doing this together, and it's wonderful. So as a church staff, we're not immune to all the distractions and all the challenges of the world. Taking a break like this and actually using that time wisely to invest in good and lovely relationships is actually super biblical and helpful for our church.
That's awesome. Yeah. I got a chance to visit four different camps, summer camps this summer, and one of my favorite things.
Professional camper.
I'm all about it. Camps. I support camps that are sharing the love of Jesus. Yeah. I love it. But is the absence of phones, and that's you notice coming, you know, in or out, is like there's not a phone to be seen, and the staff are guided that way, but they're living in such a beautiful connection and community, and so available to the campers or to each other.
So present.
Because there are not devices around. And I know they're guided, you know, tuck them away, put them away, let's not see them. But in each one of those spaces, it's something that you can just see right away is people being and spending time together. And
And our kids didn't even miss it. Like Christian and Nathan would much rather go and hang out and play in the presence of each other in good relationships. It's like, wait, we don't even need that anymore.
Yeah.
It's when we don't have those relationships where we kind of try to find that connection through
fill
this.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Jason, for joining us.
You're welcome.
And thank you to our listeners for listening. Pray for our church staff. I pray that you... pray that we would just continue to grow in relationship with one another, and we love you and we love serving you together, and even be praying maybe for this next year as we plan and prep to go to Sunnybrae together, that it would be possible and the people who are meant to be there will be there. So we will see you later, talk to you later for our next episode. Thanks for joining us.